Throughout this sermon series, we have talked about re-words. I encourage you to go back to our other messages in previous weeks to explore each re-word that we've explored. Today, we consider what it means to be renewed from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 29. We read this. As soon as they, Jesus and the disciples, left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he, Jesus, got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Let us pray. O God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand, and open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, one hot Syracuse September day before COVID-19, I had a horrible cold, and it was an odd combination, sick in the middle of a heat wave. Remember when people just had colds or coughs? Well, it was this usual kind of stuck-in-bed body ache, congestion, and just kind of a stuffy head feeling. And this went on for several days. Well, after some time went by, I totally forgot that I was supposed to go all the way out to Jones Road off 690 to play indoor lacrosse later that night. But as I'm the only goalie on the team, I didn't have a lot of options. It was too late to call around for another goalie, and I had to get better fast. So I had an epiphany. I'll just take some DayQuil and Tylenol, and I'll drink some tea and take decongestion medication, and I'll be good as new. I'll be restored. And it worked. I felt really good. Like I didn't have a cold anymore. It was a miracle. Maybe my cold was totally gone. I was just feeling top-notch. As I arrived to the indoor sports facility, it was hot in there. The sun had warmed the facility up all day, and it was probably about 95 degrees inside. Now, as a goalie, we wear lots of equipment playing indoor lacrosse. Think of an ice hockey goalie and then add a gorilla suit. That's what we look like. And it was just stuffy in there, stuffy in all that equipment. Well, as my game progressed, all the medication I took started wearing off. And I was lethargic, and I was dehydrated and overheated under all of that equipment. And the second half started, and I started getting really lightheaded, and I was dizzy, and I had trouble breathing. And after several minutes went by, I thought I was going to pass out. I was still sick, really, really sick. I was drinking as much water as I could, and I was just pouring it over myself to try to cool down. What have I done? I thought to myself. I didn't need to play lacrosse for my team that night. What I really needed was a doctor. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus becomes quite the doctor as it appears that Jesus has become just indispensable to the disciples, to Peter's mother-in-law, to the towns and the crowds. Jesus is able to heal people of fever and diseases and demons. And in this passage, we count no less than 5 times that Jesus is sought out for his healing abilities or is available to others for one purpose or another. The doctor is in and the word is out. Jesus can heal. I got to be honest with you. I could have really used Jesus that day that I stepped on the turf when I was sick. But alas, no such cure was in store for me. In our story, Jesus is able to cure at a rate and pace that is unmatched in ancient or the modern world. Jesus is so productive in his activity that Mark records that the whole town is at the door seeking Jesus' help. And unlike his ancient counterparts who healed the sick, Jesus takes no payment as a physician for his services. Think of the people who needed a cure or to be restored. Families needed parents to be well to provide for their children. The aged spent many years in agony and pain from their diseases. Children had their childhoods robbed because they were immobile and were unable to join other children in activities. Once word spread that Jesus was a miracle worker, Jesus couldn't go anywhere without the disciples, the crowds, and the sick seeking him. How could Jesus keep up this pace? How could Jesus, being fully human, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, be inexhaustible? Didn't Jesus ever get sick? Didn't he ever need rest? Did he need food, water? I believe he did. Woven throughout this text, amid the supernatural healings, is Jesus' practice of rest and restoration. For as active as Jesus was, he was also inactive. Think about that for a minute. For as active as Jesus was, he was inactive. Or more accurately, engaging in practices that restored Jesus. For Jesus, that meant trying to get away for solitude and prayer. In verse 35, Jesus slips out of the house of Simon's mother-in-law early in the morning. Now, houses in the first century were not very large, and they featured maybe a small upper guest room. This probably is the space that housed Jesus and the other disciples. It was probably pretty cramped. Clearly, for Jesus, he needed to get away from the demands of others and the world in order to be more fully present for the journey ahead. We learn in verses 38 and 39, Jesus would not stop his superstar tour of healings. There was more in store for him. He would go on to other villages and towns in the region. Jesus was in such demand that the disciples looking for Jesus that morning, they were searching. Where do you go? Didn't Jesus know that people really needed him? The New International Version translates the verb to search as the disciples looking. The New Revised Standard Version translates and utilizes a stronger, more accurate word here that I read today as hunted. The disciples hunted for Jesus. We get a sense of urgency, expectation, and resolve in their search for their leader and new celebrity in Galilee. This passage of Scripture is just teeming with need and demands and desire of the people for Jesus. That's a lot of pressure to try to shoulder. Think about it. Live at sundown, Jesus will heal, was the news going around all the towns and villages. Still, Jesus was unmatched in his productivity, output, and efficiency. All things our American society values greatly. Indeed, our culture values and rewards productivity, output, and efficiency. As a matter of fact, companies reward their CEOs handsomely when those three things come together. You can do it all, the American dream tells us. But perhaps productivity, output, and efficiency was on my mind when I foolishly tried to play lacrosse when I was extremely sick and ill. When I was finally at my limits of coherence and cognitive functioning during the game, I went to block a shot and went down on my knees, and the next thing I remember, I was waking up face down in the turf, right there in the middle of my game, passed out. Last week in my sermon, I told you a story about my friend passing out. This week, it's me passing out. Anyways, I guess my teammates saw how flushed or red in the face I was, and they started just tearing my equipment off of me to see if I was okay. And when I came to, the referee was just waving his arms and blowing his whistle, calling the end of the game. He said it was just way too hot in that sports complex. When I came home, I told my wife everything that had happened. She wasn't happy, and she said to me, "Gosh, Alan, how did you ever think that was a good idea? This morning you were sick as a dog lying in bed, and then hours later you went into this heat indoors to play lacrosse. You're lucky you didn't end up in the hospital." She was right. How could I have misjudged just how sick I really was? How could I misjudge how much I just needed rest and restoration? How could I have so much confidence that my plan was going to work? How could I think cold medication could just instantly restore me? All of the facts were right in front of me, and I didn't see it? Psychologists and social scientists call this the Dunning-Kruger effect, named after the Cornell researchers who published their work on the topic. Dunning and Kruger found that people tend to overestimate their ability and, with limited information, can make poor decisions. According to Dunning and Kruger, we do this all the time when we talk about politics or economics, making personal decisions, or even making small talk about what the weather will be like tomorrow. We can become very short-sighted when the pressure is on and we become overconfident in our decisions and we miss the signs, information, and facts that tell us when we're wrong. As the ancient maxim states, know thyself. Jesus knew himself very well. Jesus knew that he was needed, and he knew when he needed others, and he knew when he needed to be restored. Often, we don't know we need restoration until we are completely and utterly exhausted, burned out, and expended, lying on the floor. The challenge for us contemporary people is that the dividing lines between work and play, on and off, here and now, and expectations and challenges. These lines have blurred in our advanced technological world. The given opportunities for the previous generation are not necessarily readily available to us in 2021. The Harvard Business Journal recently reported that during the pandemic, 7 out of 10 workers said navigating the pandemic has been the most stressful time of their entire professional careers. If 7 out of 10 workers describe that This is their most stressful time in their career. What then is the type of stress that they are bringing home? Bringing home to their spouses, children, parents, and other loved ones? In addition, the study found that people who are able to be resilient were able to be engaged in self-care. Perhaps those are the other 30% in the study. We contemporary people are not very good, on the whole, at limiting ourselves. We feel the pressure to say yes to commitments of sports, community, school, organizations, and often we're just so overwhelmed and exhausted. When are we going to learn the words, "I'm sorry, I can't, not right now"? When the disciples hunted for Jesus in the morning hours, anxious when he wasn't at the breakfast table like he was supposed to be, Jesus communicated the words, "I'm sorry, I can't, not right now. I'm with God." The tyranny of the urgent will always be at our doors, and the whole town will always be at our window. But how will you respond to such pressing need? Jesus was very gifted. He was a very gifted teacher. He was a very gifted restorer. He restored others, and he was very gifted at restoring himself. Jesus knew that in order to continue, in order to keep going on in his giftedness, he needed to spend time with the Father, quality time with God. The action of being restored should not always be found when we are at our end, sick and exhausted. Being restored is a daily, monthly, and yearly practice. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17 proclaims, "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord." Perhaps when Jesus left the crowds in Mark, he remembered Exodus 20, 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor to do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to your Lord, your God." We can't start restoration until we start reorienting our priorities. The example of Jesus and his pattern of restoration shows us that we must restore our minds, our bodies, and soul. We must put our spiritual wellness as a priority. Worshiping or praying a few times a year does not provide adequate restoration for us. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We need to carve that daily time for Jesus's yoke of reading scripture, carving out that daily time in prayer, carving out that quarterly time in retreat and rest, carving out that weekly time studying and praying with other Christians. Jesus knew that the Sabbath wasn't just one day a week, but it was a daily practice for him. Friends, we think we know better, that if we work ourselves to the limits, it'll pay off in the end. Then we have to ask, what's the payoff? We work so hard that our children, brothers, sisters, family, and friends never see us because we're chasing a dollar amount or a title or the next award. Think, if you put the same effort into your faith today that you put into your hobbies or job or activities, what would your inner spiritual life look like when you face the next crisis in your life. Worship here at DeWitt Community Church is a time we hear from God, give to God, and allow God to restore us. Personal daily prayer in the morning, noon, or night is when we ask God to restore us with that which we've lost. Small groups here at church are the opportunities we have to restore our knowledge of God and connection with one another. Over the years, I've had several friends and colleagues repeat a line that I try to live by and try to understand, which is this: we can have it all, just not all at once. We can have it all, just not all at once. Today, you may be trying to jam everything in your day and life, and that you can't understand why am I so beleaguered? Why am I so tired? If you allow yourself to prioritize daily and weekly time with God, both in solitude and Christian community, you will begin to see the changes you need to make in order to start the work of being restored. May you today be like Jesus and put your own spiritual restoration as a priority. May you today be like Jesus, who said no, not yet, in order to say yes to those who you can help. May you today be like Jesus, who hit the pause button on everyone's expectation and instead hit the play button on his restoration with God. Let us pray. God, we confess that we jam so much into our life and the lives of our children and family and friends. God, we often find ourselves just exhausted, just trying to find more time in the day. But perhaps, God, we're finding ourselves so overworked, so tired, so exhausted, mentally and emotionally, especially during this pandemic, that perhaps, God, you're calling us to reorder our priorities with you, our prayer life, our study, our worship, our relationship with our church. God, may we not be a people beleaguered by the demands of the world, but may we be like Jesus, who knew to take the times of solitude and prayer and retreat and rest and restoration, so that we can be renewed. God, help us be renewed this day. Open our eyes and our hearts to new behaviors, new activities, and new patterns, so that we may take up the spiritual work of feeding our souls as a priority for our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.